Hello, and welcome to episode 6 of Up to Date, the podcast on property law brought to you by the junior barristers of Tanfield Chambers. Tune in each week for our essential updates in the world of property law so that you're up to date. Each episode is 15 minutes long and summarises the key aspects of a changing landscape. Whether it's new laws coming into force, updated court procedures, or key judgments, the main things you need to know are here. So this episode goes out on the 13th of October 2020. It's the opening of a new legal year already, and property lawyers are coming back to come to grips with the resumption of possession proceedings after a six-month general stay on more or less all possession claims. That came to an end on the 20th of September. So this week, we're focusing our attention on a guidance document issued by the Master of the Rolls, Sir Terence Etherton, in his capacity as Head of Civil Justice. Specifically, we're going to be looking at some of the new practices and terms introduced in that guidance, including COVID-19 case marking and something called a review date. We're also going to be considering what cases will be listed with a priority, as well as what the guidelines tell us about no-fault evictions under the accelerated procedure. So I'm your host this week, Deanne Dolliver, and I'm joined by Richard Orford. Hello, Richard.
Hey, Deanne.
So Richard, it's business very much not as usual as the courts start to resume their possession work. A cross-sector working group's been meeting since June, led by Mr. Justice Knowles, and trying to prepare for what's really an unprecedented situation. The Master of the Rolls explains quite nicely what we're facing, which is, he says, a combination of accrued demand from the stay, the possible increase in demand caused by economic consequences of the pandemic, and combined with that, the fact that we can't blocklist cases to try and deal with the backlog because there's a pandemic and we're social distancing. So what do you think of the guidance that's been put out?
Well, Deanne, it's clear that an awful lot of thought and effort has gone into producing this document. And to the working group's credit, it is a very, very detailed document. It's called the Overall Arrangements, and it sets out what I think is quite an ambitious outline of how they're going to try and deal with this massive backlog of cases. It's helpful in that it gives quite a frank view of how things are going to be dealt with, but it's not going to make for it's not going to make good reading for anybody who is hoping to get their case on and to get a possession order given quickly.
Yes, I agree. Reading between the lines, you can sense that the working group is sort of willing parties to settle and take cases out of the court system where they can, because in the guidance they've included both a calendar of milestone dates and an illustrative timeline for a claim. And both of those should help really manage expectations. So except in some cases, for example, where you're appealing or applying to set aside a warrant, for the most part, there will be no substantive hearings expected before the 16th of November. And Richard, that's in part a consequence of the introduction of something called the review date. So the review date's a new step that's been inserted effectively before what would normally be your first possession hearing. And I wondered if you could tell our audience a bit about that.
Yeah, as you say, this is a completely new aspect of the possession hearings procedure. And it'll be the first step in many of the cases, either the cases that are reactivated or the new cases that are issued. And what will happen is the court will give the parties 21 days notice of a review hearing. And then at least 14 days before that review hearing, the onus is on the claimant to provide either an e-bundle or a paper bundle to the court and the defendant. And the court will, on the review day, review the papers. This is envisaged to be an opportunity, more than anything else, for the parties, firstly for the defendants to access legal advice through the duty advisor scheme, perhaps remotely, and then also for the parties to have the opportunity to discuss their claim and hopefully reach some element of agreement. and whether that's on directions going forward or hopefully the resolution of the dispute.
This review hearing, Rich, is going to be just a paper review, isn't it? It's not an actual in-person hearing.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. And it's going to be on the papers. The specimen timetable, that is in the appendix to this document, reserves 50 minutes of judicial time a day, during which it's envisaged that 10 review hearings will be processed on the papers. So this is not going to be a judge looking at the pleadings and going, this is a case where possession would not be given at first instance and where directions are needed. This is purely the judge either rubber stamping directions agreed between the parties, or just seeing that all the papers are in order. And if all the papers are in order and there's been no settlement, what the judge will simply do is send the case on to be listed for a substantive hearing some 28 days later. So there was going to be at least 28 days between the review hearing and the substantive hearing. And this is what they're calling the substantive hearing is effectively the equivalent of a Part 55 first possession hearing under the rules as we've known them before.
Yeah, so that's one of the questions that I had for myself, which was whether or not the directions that could be made on the paper review were anything akin to case management hearing yes. directions listing to trial. If you've already got your defence, which you would have at that point, conceivably that could happen, but we've had a chat about it and it seems as though, well, aside from anything else, in 5 minutes the judge probably isn't going to be able to do that. But more importantly, the civil procedure rules themselves aren't amended by this guidance, so it looks like the usual rules of the judge having to decide whether or not a case is actually seriously disputed is still going to apply at the in-person hearing.
That's right. Just much further down the timeline. What I think the review hearing will help with, though, are the cases where there is a substantial dispute and possibly where both sides are legally represented, because then the review will come into its own, because the parties then will presumably look at the hearing, will agree directions, and then that case can then progress to the case management phase without the need for any further hearing. But yeah. The important point is it's only going to be directions by agreement between the parties, not judicial directions at this stage.
So, Richard, another concept that's introduced in the guidance is COVID marking. Could you say a little bit about what that is?
This appears to be the court's attempt to isolate and identify the cases that are particularly COVID related, and these are cases that either where COVID-19 has either prejudiced the tenant or indeed the landlord in any given case, and the system allows for either the claimant or the defendant to make a request to the court for the case to be COVID marked or COVID-19 case marked. The request can be made at any time, and it can be made either by the defendant or what is called a private claimant. If they're going to make the request, they have to provide a variety of information to the court, which essentially tells the court exactly why they're in the position they are, or they say they're in the position that they are due to COVID.
It sounds quite ominous, doesn't it? COVID marking. When I first read it, I thought it meant that somebody had coughed on their claim form and that to be taken away. Another thing that we quickly need to mention is accelerated possession hearings. And as you've said, Richard, when we were talking about this, unfortunately the reading between the lines of this document rather suggests that accelerated possessions are going to be put on a huge pile of other Section 21 claims and just reached when they're reached by some poor deputy district judge late in the afternoons.
You could be forgiven for believing they're going to be put into the cupboard until a rainy day. The guidance literally says they will be dealt with in the time when substantive hearings and other matters are adjourned, sorry, are come out of the list due to settlement or for other reasons. So really, it is these will be dealt with as and when. But one would presume that Section 21 possession hearings are going to be relatively low priority compared to the other matters that will be in the possession list. So I suppose in the circumstances, that is understandable.
And the accelerated may become ironic.
Yes, indeed. I think we should probably just bottom out the COVID-19 marking, because the purpose of that, at least in theory, is to allow is to inform the court's decision when it comes to listing. So in theory, the listing judge could put back, say, a ground eight possession claim where the rent arrears are clearly related to the consequences of COVID-19. So that could perhaps be pushed back as far as possible in the list, or indeed a case where a landlord has been particularly prejudiced by the circumstances of the pandemic could be brought forward. But whether that will actually happen in practice remains to be seen.
Yeah, and Rich, actually, that point takes us nicely to the priorities listing guidance, which is the other document the Master of the Rolls released. And that also gives us an indication of which cases are going to be being heard first. So the priorities for listing, as one might expect, are cases, for example, where there are allegations of antisocial behaviour or domestic violence, fraud or deception, unlawful subletting. And also this interesting category, first of all, with the quite obvious example of cases of extreme alleged rent arrears accrued. It says equal to 12 months rent, and also 9 months rent where the where that amounts to more than 25% of a private landlord's total annual income from any source.
Yes, and at least one commentator, one well-known commentator, has suggested that that is open to abuse by landlords who want to have a quick hearing. Because realistically, is the court going to be checking the income figures in any detail when they're listing? So this is essentially a tick box exercise when cases are reactivated, and the temptation is going to be for many claimants, I think, to tick that box in rent arrears cases.
Thanks, Rich. Before we go, one final point that we need to mention is that with less fanfare than these guidance documents, there's been a new release of a statutory instrument which extends the prohibition, effectively, is of a landlord re-entering or forfeiting for non-payment of rent as concerns a business tenancy. So that right's now been extended until the very end of the year, 31st December. So it's not only residential landlords we can see who are having to put a brake on their plans, but also business tenancy landlords.
Yes, it was almost as if this provision was snuck out. But effectively, this is extending the delays in commercial forfeiture that was originally enacted in the Coronavirus Act right at the beginning of lockdown. And yes, one presumes that it's considered necessary to protect businesses in the current circumstances.
Well, Richard, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you very much, Tian. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for tuning in to episode 6 of Up to Date. If you'd like more on today's topic, we can recommend an article by our Edward Blakeney, another junior barrister at Tanfield Chambers. That's available on the Tanfield Chambers website, entitled Possession Proceedings, Where Are They Now? You can find a web link to that article, as well as to the overall arrangements guidelines we discussed today, included in the description to this episode. You can subscribe to and download Up to Date wherever you get your podcasts, as well as listening on the Tanfield Chambers website. You can also follow us on Twitter at UpToDatePodcast, where we'll be glad to hear your suggestions for any future topics you might like us to discuss. Join us next time for a new episode, and we'll keep you up to date.